Harvest, Pastor Rick Holm.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. First, thank you again for roasting me last month. It was a complete surprise. My ex-wife, Irene, would tell you that I am impossible to surprise. But you did it. One more matter in housekeeping. Although I am now on Facebook, I find it time-consuming. So, if I don't respond to your posts immediately, please don't get offended. I usually finish my work for Dianavox by 9 o'clock and drag myself to bed, or rather Margarita, my caregiver, drags me. As a matter of fact, why are you on Facebook, Pastor Gary, when you absolutely, unequivocally hate email?
Facebook is from the devil.
I haven't figured that one out. Have you?
Yes, it is. It is peer pressure. And I shocked a lot of people.
I haven't figured that one out. Have you?
No, I haven't figured it out. I became a Christian freak to an internet geek. You know, I just...
Today, I will speak on how you can have an abundant life, as I enjoy, with working full-time for the manufacturer of my speaking device, as well as preaching the good news of Jesus. But first, I would like to have us read Psalm 147. Afterwards, I am going to speak on verses 10 and 11. I personally like to minister out of chapters as a whole, to get everything in context. Also, maybe another verse will speak to you. That is more than fine with me, if the Holy Spirit does that. Again, Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power, His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make music to our God, on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds, He supplies the earth with rain, and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle, and for the young ravens, when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates, and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders, and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth, His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. In this beautiful psalm, verses 10 and 11, say again his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. These are a wonderful comforting couple of verses for you and me, who are either getting a little older or have a disability. I have both, but hopefully I am wiser. These verses speak of how powerful God's love is compared to the strength of man or anything that he possesses. Let's break down these two verses. Verse 10 says, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse. A horse represents power and might that man has through materialism. But God isn't impressed. In fact, he gets offended at the things that we substitute with his power. He doesn't take pleasure in this. Here, in the United States, people are obsessed with power and luxury. You can't say that a horse is like an automobile. Many want the best-looking cars with the most horsepower. They spend all of their money and energy in having the best that they can find to outdo their friends. It is outdo the Joneses. The same is true with houses that we buy to live luxuriously compared to the rest of the world. But do you know what? These people are miserable inside. They spend more money going to a psychiatrist. Some people get so depressed that they sometimes commit suicide. As you know, I have been to Mexico a number of times on ministry trips, as well as my Mexican caregiver, Margarita, to visit her family outside of Mexicali. I also went to Russia, that might be poorer economically than Mexico, I think. It is always refreshing to me whenever I travel outside the United States, because the people are 1,000 times happier than inside of America. That is why I love going to San Quentin. The Christians there have so much love, peace, and joy compared to here. In leaving there, I feel as if I am taking a huge treasure chest of pure gold. Especially when the people genuinely accept Jesus into their hearts. It is quite a culture shock when I return to my homeland, as the people here are lukewarm and never satisfied with what they have. We always have to have more. God's pleasure is not in the strength of the horse. When I was a teenager, I remember my pride in the strength of a horse. My dad had bought a station wagon off of a showroom floor. Specifically, it was a 1957 Ford Country Squire. The station wagon was magnificent, baby blue in color, with wooden brown paneling on both sides, in and in the back. But the best parts of the automobile were two long chrome tail pipes on each side that resounded its powerful V8 engine. I loved to hear the rumbling. It made my day when I got my dad to understand that I wanted him to drive down Long Hill and for him to downshift for me to hear the rumbling, crackling, and popping. Man, those loud and powerful sounds were the ultimate. But when the Ford Country Squire started to get old, parts like the chrome tail pipes started falling off. The wooden paneling faded from the weather. My obsessed love for the automobile also faded. After only a few years, the station wagon meant nothing to me. I was the same as wealthy Americans that I talked about earlier. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, my love for him never has faded now for 44 years and never will fade. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe not materially, but you might have something or someone that you love more than Jesus Christ. Lay that something or someone down and put the Lord first in your life. Jesus is worthy of all of our love and adoration, second to none. Psalm 147, verse 10, also says, "Nor his delight is in the legs of a man." This phrase is especially comforting to know that the Lord accepts those of us like George, Linda, and myself who cannot walk. While other people, in good intentions, might want us to walk, he could care less. He doesn't delight in the legs of a man. The use of our legs, arms, or speech is not a requirement by God, thank goodness. If I would use my legs to stand, I would fall in a half second from no one holding me. It isn't so much anymore, as I gained a little weight, but I used to get intimidated when I sat next to a man with shorts on, showing his huge, bulging, muscular legs. Mine were skinny. In fact, my dad used to joke with me by saying that I was stick and bones. My legs were bigger, and some of my school friends paralyzed from polio. One friend's legs were so skinny that you could wrap your finger and thumb around his thigh. Amazingly, this friend, Jamie, learned to walk, or rather hop and skip, with braces and crutches. He moved around like this pretty good with a normal walking speed, as his upper body was strong and buffed, as seen in the mural in right there. I don't know why, maybe because of pride, and his family was Christian Scientists, but when he grew up to be a teenager. He suddenly decided, one day, that his lower extremities were not paralyzed anymore, though they had not grown. Jamie wanted to see if he could walk without locking his braces straight at the knees to get off of the school bus. So, using his hands to lift himself up between two aisle seats, he let go. Instantaneously, he plunged to the floor. His legs were all sprawled out, but he was more embarrassed from my friends and me looking at him, trying not to snicker, and wondering about his crazy stunt. The use of our legs, arms, or speech isn't a requirement by God. He is concerned about the heart. Don't let macho pride, like my friend, wanting to walk so badly, stand in the way of what counts the most, the heart. Would you please place your finger in Psalm 147 and turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Once again, let's read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Starting with verse 7, it says, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Instead of complaining about his disability, Paul understood. He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Amen. Over the many years, this passage has meant so much to me. I am weak in body, but strong in spirit, with the Holy Spirit's mighty power inside of me. I would not trade this power living inside of me for a body bulging with muscles. I think of this whenever Pastor Chip or someone drives me in my van and takes too sharp of a corner, with me falling from one side to the other in my chair because of my back getting weaker. I laugh when I fall, because in my spirit I know that I am strong and am able to scale a wall because of the Holy Spirit. How about you, Pastor Gary, with that bum knee? Would you trade in that knee for a good one in exchange for the awesome anointing that God gave you and for the countless souls that you have won? This isn't to say that God won't heal us. personally, I know in my spirit that God will heal me from my cerebral palsy, the sight of heaven, right before Jesus comes again. It will be to show the world of his power, to give people one last chance to come to him. The healing has been prophesied over me many times, and I rest in it. Again, it will be to show the world, because Christians, like you, already know the power inside of me. It is the power that stems from weakness, enabling me to lead such an abundant life. 4. Really, it takes more faith to remain joyful every day of my life with unwanted, terrible spasms than to be healed physically. I am glad that I finally got a chance to share that with you. Although it is in my autobiography that is out of print, I have been wanting to tell you about my belief for my healing for a long time. Again, back to Psalm 147, it says, God does not delight in the legs of man. Parents of disabled children struggle with this issue more. I know that my dad wished that I was normal. I forgive him for it, but he was ashamed to take me out in public, like to a restaurant. But I know that my Heavenly Father is not ashamed of me. He sees through disabilities into the heart. God does not delight in the legs of man. The first part of verse 11 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him. The word fear loses its meaning here. To fear the Lord means to hold him in awesome, reverent respect. To fear the Lord does not mean that we need to be absolutely afraid and terrified of him. He is not out to get us the minute that we make a mistake and sin. A healthy fear of the Lord is good to have, this awesome, reverent respect for him in obedience to do what he says. It seems as though I am picking on the people of our country, and I guess that I am, but most Americans don't have an awesome, holy respect for God. Instead, they go about their day thinking little or nothing about him. They make decisions on their own without his guidance. Sadly, they become their gods and control their lives. In fact, there was a popular bumper sticker a few years ago that read, "No fear." The owners of these bumper stickers were macho and felt like they could do everything by themselves. I actually feared their future after they died and had to face Jesus, something that we will all have to do. What will they say about this ridiculous slogan of no fear? Again, a good fear of the Lord is healthy. Another friend was paralyzed from his waist on down due to a spinal cord injury. His name was John. Because of his paralysis, he could feel no sensation in his legs, unlike Jamie. When John was home, he preferred to scoot on the floor, crawling with his hands, but dragging his legs instead of using his wheelchair. Once, as he dragged himself from room to room, one of his legs brushed against a hot furnace that he couldn't feel. To make matters worse, my friend stopped there to talk with somebody. It ended up that he had seriously burned his leg even though he felt no pain. An unhealthy fear of the Lord without proper awesome respect is like this incident. The furnace kept the house warm and cozy. The warmth was delightful, especially on cold days. The furnace was not the problem. The problem was John's inability to feel pain. People who do fear the Lord are like that. They are insensitive to the Lord's splendor and might. They need to feel His glory around and about them. They cannot feel the pain of the good kind of fear that is accompanied by love. I hope that you do fear Him out of the most awesome and holy respect. Do you? For instance, many Christians think little about sleeping together and having sex outside of marriage. They forget that this is fornication. Or, how about homosexuality that is becoming more acceptable? This is because people quit treating God's word, so slowly they become insensitive to the things of God. Then, when either fornicators or homosexuals contact AIDS, they wonder why. They haven't only forgotten about God's word, but also His love for them, wanting abstinence because He created the human body and knows which sexual activity is healthy and unhealthy. God is not a party pooper. But, in making us, He set up certain guidelines for our protection. It is like we wouldn't be so stupid to pour oil in gas tanks of our vehicles. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, the first half of verse 11 says. Finally, let's talk about the latter half of verse 11 that goes together with the first. Verse 11 says again, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Fear and love go together, almost like what we have been talking about. But, unlike our fear that comes from loving Him, His love for us is incomprehensibly greater than ours. Those of us who place our hope in God's unfailing love are confident that our sins are remembered no more. We live the verses in Psalm 102, 8 through 12, where it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We place our hope in God's unfailing love, knowing that He remembers our sins no more after we repent of them. They are forever nailed to the cross, never to be picked up again. The only ones that pick them up is ourselves, but the Lord surely doesn't remember them. Because of various upbringings, some of us have a hard time accepting this love more than others. I like the prayer that Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. This is after he encouraged the church. Again, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. This is Paul's prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Wow. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
People give up on us, but God doesn't, even if we don't want him at the time. He didn't give up on me when I could care less about him, thinking that Jesus was just another historical figure that I got bored from listening at school. He patiently and lovingly waited for me to surrender my life to him 44 years ago. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait until we were perfect to come to him. That is impossible anyway. We cannot be perfect in our own strength. It is as impossible as Jamie's foolishly thinking that he could stand without locking his braces straight at the knees first. The Bible also says, all have come short of the glory of God. Before we surrendered to the Lord, we sinned. And the trouble was that God, the Father, hated sin. He could not be around or close to sin because of his holiness. That is why he sent Jesus, his Son, to die for our sins. He loved us so much that he was not willing to have anybody to perish. Rather, he wanted everybody to enjoy everlasting life. This is instead of being condemned to hell that was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan to be tormented in forever and ever without escape. Even in choosing our destiny, God let us do so in love. He does not force us to choose heaven. He leaves it up to us to decide. Jesus bore our sins with him on the cross, not only so that we could go to heaven someday, but to enjoy a fellowship and a friendship with us here and now. He eagerly desires a relationship with us. I am not talking about a religion that I got bored stiff with when I was a kid. No, Jesus wants a relationship and a friendship with us. He wants to laugh with us as well as to cry with us. He wants to tell us that we are special in His sight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Bible also says that the Lord rejoices over us with singing. Can you imagine Jesus singing love songs to us? He is madly in love with us. His love is unfailing and never quits. For us to receive this unfailing, boundless love, all that we need to do is to hope and to have confidence in it. Before I go to sleep at nights, I usually play a praise tape while I am resting in bed and have my mind completely focused on Jesus. I feel His love and peace as I drift off to sleep. There is no question of His unfailing love. I am sure of it.
Amen.
Jesus' unfailing love for you and for me is incomprehensibly greater than all of the sufferings that I go through because of my disability. The two cannot be compared with each other. For instance, sitting in my chair all day is difficult, especially at night when my back becomes weak. But I go to bed hearing my praise music and feel God's loving me. His presence that I feel makes my suffering that day tiny and minuscule. I am sure that if I were to die, I would go to heaven when I see Jesus face to face. I am sure of it not because of any good deeds that I have done. Rather, I am sure of going to heaven because of everything that He did on the cross. I put my entire hope and confidence in His unfailing love for me. How about you? Are you sure, without a doubt, that if you were to die tonight, that Jesus would receive you and let you in your new glorified body in His heaven? Are you sure? Do you know that you know that you know? If you know this fact too, shout a big Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. We bless You for the word that You have given. Thank You that You don't take pleasure in our possessions or strength, for we all would be lost. Instead, You love us and accept us. Let us receive Your unfailing love that never quits. If some of you unknowingly are trusting in your possessions and that the Spirit convicted you, please stand up or wave your hand for the Lord to deliver you from the bondage of putting things before Him. Putting things first before God is really easy to do, I know. But He wants you to confess to it for a release in your spirit. Likewise, if you are somehow depending on your strength for anything, would you please stand to your feet or wave your hand? Again, depending on our own strength is easy to do, and it is so subtle. The Lord now wants you to exchange your strength for his that is more powerful than dynamite. Or maybe you are here today, suddenly realizing that you haven't had a healthy fear of the Lord. He is not mad at you, but he wants that awesome respect from you. If this is you, please stand up or wave your hand. Lastly, maybe you haven't known the awesome love of God before, but he is touching your heart like never before. If this is you, stand up or wave your hand for Jesus to be completely engulfed in your love for him. Father, I lift up every individual to you who has been touched by your spirit. We all have issues, including me, that we want to be delivered from, so we can have a closer walk with you and be holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name, I declare freedom and deliverance. Amen. As we, your saints, walk in your love and victory.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And all who agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. You know, it's funny because let me clarify something, which you said. Pretty amazing that he's been prophesied over. Correct me if I got this right. Right before the Lord comes back, you're getting out of that wheelchair. Yo, you walk into church one of these days and you see Rick Holmes standing there, look up. Because the Lord draweth nigh, you know, and for him to say that, because I trust me when I tell you, folks, if you could spiritually see us, you know, I was sitting there, and you know what the picture I got, and this may be a little weird, but I'm a little weird. The picture I got is when I think of somebody incredibly muscular, very strong looking, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, when he was doing the movies, this incredible Hulk of a man, you know. And I thought to myself, what God sees, he probably sees something even much bigger than that in Rick Hone, Pastor Rick. And when Rick is singing and you can hear Rick, you get to hear, when you hear that, God hears, the thought that came to me was Frank Sinatra. He probably makes Frank Sinatra look sick when he sings to the Lord. For the Lord gets to see him like we don't get to see him. But over the each time you speak, each time you minister to us, I think we see a different Rick Hone, Pastor Rick Hone. More and more we see the giant man. I think more so than anybody, Pastor Chip has seen a giant of a man. Because you guys get to travel together and you get to, you know, talk about things that are really cool. And he gets to see the giant of the man. Lastly, I want to just to share this real quick with you, that the fear of the Lord comes in a whole bunch of different packages. And Pastor Rick was right. And you know what the whole thing was about? What's in the Creator, what God in his creation, his image and likeness and character in us, is that what do we want most from our kids? What do you want most from your kids? Because what you want from your kids is what God wants from us. Because the desire that you have inside you is God's desire. It's his character and likeness inside you. And what you want from your kids is to be loved. And you want your kids to love you and to honor you and to obey you. Because you know the direction they can go if they don't. And you know what? God has the other side of the coin. You also want your kids, if they do not honor you and they do not obey you, to know that you don't play games. That you're willing to pull out the belt if that's the case. Or you're willing to spank them, or you're willing to do something that's going to be a punishment to them. And where do you think that came from? Came from God. That comes from God. And so, but what God prefers, same thing you as parents prefer. He prefers that you live your life not in the fear of what God can do, but in the love of God. In the love of God. And there's too many people. And God made it really, he made it perfectly clear in the scriptures. Hey, if it's by fear, by the actual word fear, that'll get you into the kingdom of heaven because you're afraid of hell, so be it. Live that life. But that's not the kind of life the Lord spoke to us to live. That's not abundant life. That's living a life of fear and turning around and always worrying about, I'm living in sin and I'm scared about death, about what he's about ready to do to me for it. Because he punishes in ways, I'm telling you folks, he punishes in ways that we have no idea. And what, you know what one of his greatest punishments is? Anyone want to take a shot? One of his greatest punishments is on earth? It's not that you're going to be in an accident. It's not that you're going to have cancer. It's not that, you know the worst punishment on earth is? Guilt is a good one. What? Reliving what you haven't learned. You know what the worst punishment on earth is in the Bible? Worst punishment on earth. Huh?
Being alone.
Separation from Jesus, death. That's not on earth. You're no longer here. You know what it is? No peace. When you don't have peace. You can have all the riches. You can have everything in the world. Why do you think rich people commit suicide? Because there's no peace. If God were to remove his hand from one of us today, he would remove his hand, remove himself, remove the peace that his Holy Spirit brings, that passes up peace that passes understanding. You would go in, you think any disease on earth would not compare to it. Peace is that important to us. That's why we seek it. That's why the Holy Spirit says, I come to comfort you. I come to comfort you. I had no idea what Pastor Rick was speaking about, right? Had no idea. He just said, here, you know, he said, I've got two messages. I said, look, Pastor Rick, take the one you want to feel the Lord leading you to speak. And it was by no coincidence. You want to hear how God works? This is really cool. As I put the music together this morning, I said, here's going to be the closing song. Bring it up there for me, would you, Rose? It's our confession, Lord, that we are weak. So very weak. But you are strong. Next one. Though we nothing, Lord, to lay at your feet, we come to your feet and say, help us along. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies fall from heaven. For everything Pastor Rick spoke of today, folks, let's stand. Let's close with singing this song, because you can ask the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm weak. Man, am I weak. It's my confession, Lord. It's my confession, Lord. I know.